Tonight, the world on edge, waiting and watching how Israel will respond after vowing to exact the price following Iran's unprecedented missile and drone barrage, as calls for de-escalation ring out around the globe. Hundreds of missiles and drones lighting up the night sky over Israel, the first direct attack by Iran. Celebrations in the streets of Tehran. But Israel, with help from the U.S. and other allies, says it intercepted 99% of them. The U.S. military describes being surprised by the scope of the Iranian attack, one official's hand trembling as he took down the information. President Biden meeting with G7 leaders and telling Prime Minister Netanyahu that Israel won and not to risk an escalation. House Republicans prepare to vote on more military aid to Israel, but will that include help for Ukraine? We have team coverage tonight with Britt Clennett, Martha Raddatz, Mary Bruce, and Jay O'Brien. Also tonight, three straight days of severe weather. Nearly 70 million Americans could be impacted, beginning with the Northeast. Damaging winds and hail moving in tonight. Our weather team times it all out. History will be made in a New York courtroom as Donald Trump is set to become the first ex-president to stand trial on criminal charges. What's at stake in his hush money trial? The former president claims there's no way to find an impartial jury in Manhattan. Gun violence spirals in Chicago. At least 40 people shot across the city this weekend. A 9-year-old girl among those killed. No one to turn to. Who guards the guards? Our ABC News investigation reports on more than 2,500 claims of sexual abuse against a probation department that's supposed to protect at-risk youth. The fight over O.J. Simpson's money. The executor of his estate says Ron Goldman's family will get zero, nothing. Out of control, a car goes airborne, slamming into a house. What happened to the driver? And America strong tonight. One marathoner's journey takes him to every corner of the country and back to Boston.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. As we come on the air, much of the world is on edge, waiting for Israel's response to the large-scale attack by Iran. And tonight, we are learning that attack, the first direct strike on Israel from Iran, was much more forceful than U.S. defense officials anticipated. Iran and its proxies fired more than 300 missiles and drones at Israel. Most of those weapons were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system. President Biden urging restraint from Israel. The president spent much of the weekend huddled in the Situation Room, meeting with world leaders and his advisors. We have team coverage tonight with the latest developments from the region and here at home. ABC's Britt Clennett watched the attack unfold this weekend and leads us off from Jerusalem.
Tonight, the world waits for Israel's next move after last night's unprecedented direct attack from Iran on Israeli soil. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spending hours with his war cabinet today preparing for a response. Explosions visible over Jerusalem last night as air sirens rang all throughout the country.
Those sirens going off in Jerusalem. We've just heard several interceptions. You can see missiles flying over there. There are about four in that direction. Three over here. You can see that rocket flying up in the sky just over Jerusalem here now. It's just raining rockets with those sirens blaring out. You can hear the interceptions every few seconds here.
More than 300 drones and missiles launched at Israel, including more than 100 medium-range ballistic missiles, 30 land attack cruise missiles, and more than 150 one-way attack drones. IDF spokesperson Peter Lerner telling me at an airbase on the outskirts of Tel Aviv that cooperation with American forces and others meant that they were able to shoot down most of the threats.
I think coming together in such a very, very strong way, under the umbrella of the United States Central Command, together with the British, together with the French, and the regional players, sent a very, very clear message to Iran that you can't get away with it.
But some missiles did make it past their defenses. In a video circulating online, verified by ABC News, you can see missiles striking Israel's Nevatim Air Force Base. Iranians claim this was the site responsible for the strike on an Iranian consulate in Syria earlier this month that killed top commanders. The president today meeting with leaders of the G7 to try and stabilize the situation and avoid further escalation. And while U.S. officials drive home the ironclad support for Israel and its right to defend itself, there are also calls for restraint.
We don't seek a war with Iran. We don't seek an escalated tensions in the region. We don't seek a wider conflict.
Lindsay, Israel's war cabinet spent hours meeting today, but sources say no final decision has been made about a response to Iran's attack last night. And an IDF spokesperson telling me tonight the military has submitted a wide spectrum of options to the political echelon to calculate the next steps. Lindsay.
Israel still weighing its response. Britt, thank you. The Iranian strike is intensifying concerns about a wider conflict in the region, and U.S. officials who knew an attack was coming were shocked by the scale. ABC's Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz reports from Washington.
Tonight, a senior U.S. official telling ABC News that the U.S. had only been expecting Iran to fire perhaps a dozen ballistic missiles. Instead, with swarms of drones approaching Israel, the head of U.S. Central Command, General Eric Kurilla, informed the National Security Team of a stunning new number. There would likely be more than 100 ballistic missiles launched. The senior official saying the number was so shocking, his hand was trembling as he took notes. The U.S. had already pre-positioned additional defense assets in the Red and Mediterranean seas, and with the help from the U.K., and others, the Iranian missiles were tracked from the moment they were launched with a near-perfect record of interceptions. Yet Iran's president claiming his country taught Israel a lesson. And Iranians were seen cheering on Tehran's streets. At the same time, Tehran warning Israel that any new adventures against the interests of the Iranian nation would be met with a heavier and regretful response.
While Tehran's massive attack has largely been a failure, a senior official saying tonight that Iran's intent was clearly to be highly, highly destructive, causing significant damage and death in Israel. Lindsay?
Martha, thank you. Tonight, the White House is making it clear that the U.S. will not be part of an Israeli military response to Iran, and President Biden is urging restraint. ABC's Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce is here now. And Mary, I know you've been talking to sources at the White House all day. What's the message from the White House to Israel and really the world beyond tonight?
Well, Lindsay, tonight the White House is trying to make the argument that this was a spectacular success for Israel and a major victory, suggesting that additional retaliation may not be necessary. Look, this administration is now trying to do everything it can to try and prevent this from spiraling into a wider war. We are told that in their phone call last night, President Biden urged Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to slow things down, to think carefully and strategically about the risk of escalation. Iran's government, we are also told, sent a message to the White House as this attack was underway, suggesting that they're finished after this, that they consider this matter to be closed. Now, as for what comes next, the White House says ultimately it is up to Israel to decide whether and how to respond. But officials here tonight tell us that the U.S. will not participate in any counterattack. Lindsay.
Mary Bruce from the White House. Over on Capitol Hill, House Republicans are hoping to push through a military aid package for Israel. ABC's Jay O'Brien is following those developments. And Jay, how quickly could we expect a vote?
Lindsay, tonight, multiple congressional sources telling me that House Republicans are rushing to craft an aid package for Israel that could pass as early as this week. But there is one obstacle, sources tell me, and that is long-stalled military aid for Ukraine. Hardline Republicans want to only focus on Israel, but including Ukraine, could make the package more appealing to Democrats. Now, the Senate passed a massive multi-billion-dollar foreign aid package that includes $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, as well is $14 billion for Israel, and in that is $4 billion for missile defense and about $1 billion to build something called the Iron Beam defense system. Tonight, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise saying that his chamber's schedule will change in order to focus this week on aid for Israel. Lindsay.
All right, Jay, we'll see how that plays out. And tonight, nearly 70 million Americans are under threat for severe weather from the heartland to the northeast, where many are bracing for severe thunderstorms, damaging wind gusts, and some hail into the night. ABC meteorologist Samara Theodore joins us now. And Samara, where is this threat headed?
Well, right now, we actually have some strong storms sweeping through the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, a severe thunderstorm watch has been issued for parts of Ohio, northern West Virginia, and Pennsylvania through 11 p.m. tonight, where we could see damaging winds and maybe even a tornado. That severe threat persists farther west into the heartland tomorrow. So starting off the work week, it's important to know if you live in Kearney, if you live in Oklahoma City, very large hail is possible with these storms. And then this line of thunderstorms then transitions farther east on Tuesday, bringing the threat for strong strong storms and maybe even a tornado to areas like Des Moines and northern Missouri. Lindsay?
All right, Samara, thank you. We turn now to the historic criminal trial of former President Trump, set to get underway just over 12 hours from now here in Manhattan. It's the first of four criminal prosecutions Trump is facing, and it may be the only one that goes to trial before the election. More now from ABC senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky.
In little more than 12 hours, Donald Trump will become the first former president to stand trial as a criminal defendant. Lawyers will start whittling a jury pool of hundreds to 12, plus six alternates.
Jury selection is largely luck. It depends who you get.
Prosecutors have said there's no chance of finding potential jurors without an opinion of Trump. The judge will insist that that view should not get in the way of being fair and impartial. So potential jurors will be asked 42 questions, including whether they've attended a Trump campaign event, follow him on social media, or have strong feelings about how he has been treated. Trump has complained too many potential jurors have been exposed to negative stories about him.
It's very unfair that I'm having a trial there.
He sought to postpone the trial so it can be moved out of Manhattan. The judge refused, though, saying pretrial publicity was at least in part of his own doing. Far from the prestige of the White House and the glitz of his golf clubs, Trump will sit in a drab courtroom while prosecutors try to prove he falsified business records to hide hush money payments to porn actress Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election.
Trump denies those charges, but if he's convicted, he faces the possibility of up to 4 years in prison. And Lindsay, while he could still run for president, he would not be able to vote for himself. Lindsay.
Many find that perplexing. Aaron Katursky, our thanks to you. And now we want to turn to another big story tonight. ABC News and other major broadcasts and cable networks are pressing for both former President Trump and President Biden to commit to taking part in televised debates ahead of the general election. Let's bring in ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks. Mary Alice, the debates have been a centerpiece of the campaign for the past 50 years. Why are the networks making this appeal?
Yeah, Lindsay, this is an unusual move. Very public pressure. All five major broadcast and cable networks, the AP, USA Today, and others, saying collectively that this decades-old tradition of presidential debates should continue, that it is essential for voters. Now, former President Donald Trump has challenged Biden to debate, but he has not committed to any specifics. Of course, he skipped all of the Republican primary debates, and the Republican National Committee said that it was barring its candidates from participating in the traditional general election debates. President Biden, too, has been asked repeatedly if he will commit. He also has not. He said that it will depend on Trump's behavior. And, of course, just this weekend, a new New York Times Siena poll, Lindsay, finding this race as tight as ever, virtually tied.
Mary Alice, our thanks to you. And we turn now to the violent weekend in Chicago, where at least 40 people were shot, 7 people were killed. Authorities say 4 children were among the victims in one incident. Details now from ABC's Alex Perez.
Tonight, Chicago police combing for suspects after a deadly weekend of gun violence. Multiple incidents injuring at least 40 people and killing 7, including 9-year-old Ariana Molina.
EMS plan 1 for multiple people shot, 2021 West 52nd Street.
This, the aftermath after the girl was killed Saturday night. A witness telling police a black sedan approaching a crowd of people gathered outside for a celebration on the city's south side. A gunman then opening fire. 11 people hit, 4 of them children.
Little Ariana shot in the head, dying from her injuries. Her heartbroken father tells ABC News she was wonderful and helpful and was everything to me.
The shooting, police say, was likely gang-related.
The offender's actions, make no mistake, are horrific and unacceptable in our city.
The incident comes just hours after community activists marched calling for peace.
We're all hurting and we all saying enough is enough.
And not just Chicago coping with gun violence this weekend. Overnight in Dallas, 9 people shot after a party there ended. Authorities say a 21-year-old woman struck in that shooting died at the hospital.
And Lindsay, 2 of the children injured here in Chicago were hospitalized in critical condition. No arrests have been made. Lindsay?
Just agonizing there. Alex, thank you. And turning now to the big day for women's college basketball, the WNBA draft gets underway tomorrow. Earlier, the national champion South Carolina Gamecocks celebrating their title win. Caitlin Clark and Iowa losing in the final game to South Carolina. And tonight, an exclusive look at the superstars' competitive spirit.
On the day my older brother learned to ride his bike with no training wheels, I did too, because I was so mad that like he could do it, but I couldn't.
There's the princess.
Caitlin had a small pink bike, and we really hadn't taught her how to ride the bike, but we were teaching Blake.
So I like got out my pink bike, and I'm like, Mom, take my training wheels off, let's go.
The pedal that's up.
Katie, now that Blake's learned to ride, Katie's giving it a shot, and she's doing quite well.
If my brother can do this without training wheels, I can do this without training wheels.
Born with that competitive spirit and that exclusive look from Full Court Press releasing next month. Clark, of course, is expected to be the first pick in Brooklyn tomorrow on ESPN, and she's already boosting ticket sales. ABC's Aika Jachi joins us now from the draft stage.
Lindsay, after a historic record-breaking season, Caitlin Clark is expected to head to the Indiana Fever Monday night right here at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Now, Clark is getting credited for being a leading figure for growing the women's game, coming off a heartbreaking loss in the championship game where 18.9 million people tuned in, the most watched college women's game ever. Now, the Indiana Fever confirming a spike in ticket interest for their upcoming games. Now, between Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, Angel Reese, and others, this draft class is expected to be one of the best draft class in recent WNBA history, where 1,000 people will get to witness it for themselves for the first time since 2016.
Lots of excitement already building. Ike, thank you. There's so much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. Our ABC News investigation found shocking allegations against a department that's supposed to help at-risk youth. And a terrifying crash caught on video. What happened to the driver?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Next tonight, an ABC News investigation has uncovered troubling allegations against the probation department in Los Angeles County that's supposed to protect and rehabilitate vulnerable youth. That department now faces more than 2,500 claims of sexual abuse. We spoke with several of the accusers, including Dominique Anderson, who's among the thousands alleging in a lawsuit that she was abused by probation officers.
He was really interested in the fact that I was so young.
Can you explain what you feel happened over the course of time with him?
He was interested in me. He paid me for sex, and that's what I did.
You're not old enough to consent.
And that's the tough thing about being a victim. You never see it that this person is abusing their authority. You don't see it as them preying on you as being a child. You see it as, this is a man of power. This is a man of affluence. This is an educated man. He's not a probation officer. He's a supervisor.
Dominique says after she reported being sexually abused by one of her probation officers, she was then approached by a female staff member asking her not to blow the whistle.
She said he has a daughter. He has a career. He has a lot to lose.
What did you lose?
I think I lost my innocence, my self-esteem.
Some of the accused probation officers have retired and are still being paid their pensions. Their attorneys and LA County deny all the allegations. You can watch our full report, No One to Turn to, Who Guards the Guards, Tuesday on ABC News Live Prime, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern. Still ahead, O.J. Simpson is gone, but the fight over his money may just be getting started. to the index and a spectacular crash captured by a doorbell camera. Car went airborne and slammed into a garage in Southern California. Remarkably, first responders say the driver suffered only minor injuries. The executor of O.J. Simpson's estate is vowing to fight any effort by Ron Goldman's family to collect money from their wrongful death judgment. Simpson, who died Wednesday, was acquitted in a criminal trial in the murders of Goldman and Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole, but he was found liable in civil court in order to pay more than $33 million to the families. When we come back, he may not be the fastest, but he's accomplished something few marathoners have ever done. Finally, a runner's journey comes full circle. On the eve of the Boston Marathon, Scott Klein, among the crowd of more than 30,000 runners, picking up a race bib.
I am not particularly gifted or fast, but I would say that I'm pretty persevering.
Tomorrow, he'll tie up his sneakers for a repeat appearance after 37 years.
I ran with two friends of mine from law school in 1987, really on a lark.
After 25 years of practicing law and raising three children with his wife, Michelle, he started running again.
And that led to a kind of strange and amazing odyssey, which led me over the last 10 years to run a marathon in every state.
From Alaska to North Dakota, Alabama to Vermont. Tomorrow, running as part of a team supporting the Stepping Strong Center for Trauma Innovation. Tonight, he shares this message.
If you have the opportunity to get off the couch and walk a little bit and then run a little bit, just keep going.
Great advice. Have a great night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.